Blog Talk Radio.
Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon-coming King, we come before you at this time, Heavenly Father, beseeching you to please give ear to our prayer. Gracious and merciful Father, we thank you for the blessing of seeing another day, of entering into another month even. We ask you to continue to watch over us today, throughout the course of this month, and from henceforth, Heavenly Father. We ask for you to protect us in each and every step that we take. Protect our families, our loved ones. Protect us, Heavenly Father, from the evil and the danger of the world that surrounds us all, each and every day. Help us, Heavenly Father, to maintain our focus on you through your Son, our Savior, and our Redeemer. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to forgive us for the multitude of sins that we commit against you, willingly and unwillingly. And we ask you to cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. Heavenly Father, strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may all continue in your word, not going astray to the right or to the left, but remaining submissive to your will, Heavenly Father, doing that which is pleasing in your sight. Heavenly Father, uplift our heart and our mind, that we be not conformed to this world's system, but rather be transformed by its renewing. A renewing that takes place by the adherence to your Torah. Strengthen us, Father, that we may overcome the obstacles that we face as individuals, that we may be good representatives, strong warriors, upholding your word, defending your Torah. Pillars of truth in our communities, Heavenly Father. I pray for those who are suffering from a variety of ailments, Heavenly Father, that you strengthen us again by your Spirit, that we may all endure. In the name of your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King, we give praise, glory, and honor to your holy and to your most precious name. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies Israel and the new moons. And welcome once again to The Truth Shall Prevail, as we are honoring Rosh Chodesh Sivan with the following broadcast. Today, the Most High put on my heart a passage from Brother Moshe. And this passage you actually find in Devarim chapter 10, starting at verse 12. And I won't be long today. This is just a thought, something to hopefully carry you throughout the course of the day for those who choose to listen. And above all things, I ask those who are listening to follow along in your Torah, in your Bibles, if you can. And if you have a pen and a pad, take some notes and jot some thoughts down. Because one of the things that I've learned throughout the course of the years that I'm sure many of you have also learned, when it comes to hearing the word of the Most High, the word of the Most High, even though one word goes out, that one word goes out and it affects a multitude of people in different ways, you see. And there are certain thoughts that may drive you, or as one word came up this past Shabbat, that may resonate with you, you know. Not to mention, the entire word, the entire message is important when it's coming from the Most High. But there are some pieces of that message that may touch you in a different place, you know. So it's good to jot down different thoughts as you're listening to the word of the Most High when it comes forth, so that you can go back and you can do some research and study and not lose the fullness of the message. And to that, I just encourage those who are listening, when you have opportunity and you you feel that you want to hear a message from the Most High, pray and ask Him to lead you and guide you. And I'm encouraging those who are listening and who have been listening for some time to check back in the archives, as one of my brothers like to say, because there are a multitude of messages, and I believe many of the messages that have come forth were led and guided by the Creator of the heavens and the earth, as with the message today. So, in Devarim, or Deuteronomy, we're going to look at something that Moshe said prior to going off the scene. And Devarim, or Deuteronomy, is a very important book, and I believe that the entirety of the Torah is important in light of the fact that it was inspired to be written by the Creator, first and foremost. But for different reasons, you know, when you look at how He laid the Torah out, the Most High in His wisdom, and when you really go back and you check it out and you examine the scheme, and you examine it based on the outline of Bereshit, Shemut, Vayikra, Bemidbar, and Devarim, which is considered to be the Chumash, or the five books of the Torah, the foundation, you see. When we examine it and we get a bird's eye view of how the Most High revealed, there is not a text, there is not another form of scripture that can compare. I don't care if it's the teachings of the Egyptologists. I don't care if it's the teachings of the Buddhists or the Hindus. There is not another quote-unquote religious document that exists in the world that is equivalent and definitely will not surpass Torah. And I'm saying that based on, of course, what some like to call inside information. But, excuse me, I'm a little congested, so my apologies for the continual clearing of my throat. Just want to make sure that the words are coming out clearly, okay? But when it comes to the Torah and the way that the Most High put together, and right now you can look at the entirety of the Holy Scripture, but right now I'm just focusing on the Chumash and how he put that together, because the Chumash and the five books, which were named Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they are the foundation to everything we as a people do. Okay? Now, in Devarim, why this is so important, why this is so significant. At this point, we've been going along with the development. When you read the story from start to finish, starting in Genesis, we watch and we observe the growth of Brother Moshe. You see, matter of fact, before we get into Deuteronomy, let's go back to Exodus and let's just take a look at something real quick. And let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Which is in the Hebrew language referred to as Shemut, which is a term which means names. Okay? It says down in chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moshe kept the flock of Yithro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. Now stop and think about these things, you know. Most High, again, in his wisdom, what he did, and you can include everything in the Chumash. Now, the statement that I'm about to make pertains primarily to the historical aspects of the Chumash, or the first five books of the Torah. When we think about a lifespan, okay, the Most High, again, and I'm emphasizing in his wisdom, he handpicked particular stories, particular accounts that he wanted to be written so that future generations, such as ours, can go back and read. Okay? Now, in the life of Moshe, it says here that he kept the flock of Yithro, his father-in-law, which means, literally speaking, Moshe learned how to be a shepherd. Think about that. He's not just a shepherd based on leading the quote-unquote flock of Israel. He was literally a shepherd. That means whatever knowledge, whatever wisdom, whatever understanding comes with being a shepherd of a flock of animals, Moshe learned that. Matter of fact, if you go back for a moment, and we just want to touch on a couple of things, and my apologies for not being able to speak to you as long as I would like, but I was unable to set this up. And what I mean by set this up, I'm talking about Blog Talk. I was unable to set it up for the time that I normally would, which would be for the 2-hour time slot. But, you know, within the course of this 60 minutes, I was able to set it up for Most High's will be done. Okay. Now, I'm thinking about something that happened with Moshe. And I'm jumping now. Okay. Yahweh is giving me other thoughts as we're sitting and we're talking about some things. Okay, now let's go to Acts briefly. I just want to touch on a few other things. And what this says here is, I'm in Acts chapter 7, and I'm going to start at verse 20. And what's happening right here, This is the account that is being outlined by Brother Stephen prior to him being stoned to death. And this is his testimony. So in speaking about the truth of the word, he begins, he takes it way back. Okay. If you look at, and it's referred to as Stephen's speech. If you look at chapter 7, starting at verse 1, he goes all the way back to Abraham. But we don't want to go back that far. We want to start with Moshe. It says here, in verse 20, it says, in which time Moshe was born and was exceeding fair and nursed up in his father's house 3 months. Now, when it says in his father's house for 3 months, it's literally talking about in his father's, where he was a Hebrew, okay? Now, if you look at the story, and I'm not trying to go back to Exodus and look at that as well, but for those who are familiar with the story, and I believe most people who are familiar with the Bible do know about the story of Moshe. If not, you can read starting in Exodus chapter 1 just to reference what's being said here. So it says that he was nursed up in his father's house. Now, of course, we know that the decree went out to kill the Hebrew boys under a certain age. Well, Moshe's mother, by way of his sister Miriam, put Moshe on the river, and of course Pharaoh's daughter found him, which we're going to read that. But as she found him, Miriam suggested that Jochebed, which is Moshe's mother, bring him up for the first few months of his life. Nourished him, and I'm jumping back and forth, my apology. When it says, and nursed up in his father's house 3 months, this was prior to him being put on a river and sent down and being found by the Pharaoh's daughter. Okay, so my apologies for that. Mine is just running. Forgive me. But anyway, Acts chapter 7, verse 20 again. At which time Moshe was born and was exceeding fair and nursed up in his father's house 3 months. Okay, before he was put on a river. And when he was cast out, now he's being put on a river, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nursed him for her own son. And Moshe was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. Now, funny thing is, some people will look at that and they will say, well, see, Moshe learned everything that the Egyptians learned. Yes, he did. And I would not deny that because that is what the Torah taught. Okay? But here's the point that we want to look at. He was learned in the ways not of just the Egyptians. He was learned in what it meant to be a Pharaoh, what it meant to be a king. That's why we wanted to go back there. Now, for those who say, well, look, the ways that he was learned in, isn't that the same way that he established with Israel? No, it was not. Let's go to Ibri, or the book of Hebrews, and let's look at something else. In chapter 11, starting at verse 23, it says, by faith, when he was born, Moshe, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a prophet child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moshe, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, we want to add that there, too. Okay? It says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of Elohim than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Listen to that. What it said about Brother Moshe, okay? He grew up in Pharaoh's house, but there came a time he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of Elohim. What is this teaching us? Than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? What is it saying about the lifestyle of the Egyptians than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? Esteeming the reproach of Mashiach greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he, talking about Moshe, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Stop right there. Okay? So we wanted to go back to that part because first, before Moshe became that shepherd, he learned how to be a king. Think about that. Now, we're going back because what we're doing in the Torah, in the Chumash, what Yahweh did, he laid out for us to learn the steps that it took for Moshe to become the man that he became, as we learned in Deuteronomy. Okay? So, there was 40 years that he spent in Pharaoh's house. There was 40 years that he spent in Jethro's house. And there's 40 years that he led Israel in the wilderness. Think about that. 40 years. So he had a very good education in being a king, and going back to Deuteronomy now, okay, chapter 10, and we're going to pick up at Exodus chapter 3, before we get to Deuteronomy, picking up in verse 1. Now, Moshe kept the flock of Yethro, his father-in-law. Now, again, the point being, he was a shepherd. He learned how to be a shepherd. And this took place within a 40-year time frame as well. He was 40 years in Egypt, learning to be a king, 40 years learning to be a shepherd, but not just a shepherd. So what is it? The priest of Midian. Not only was Yethro Moshe's father-in-law, Yethro was also a priest. Now, this is the question that we as Bible students have to ask. How was Yethro a priest? Because when we think about the priesthood, especially in relation to Israel, everything stems from the Levitical priesthood. You see? But how is it that Yethro was a priest? And if you read the story, what you also find is that Yethro also believed in Yahweh. Think about that. It says he was the priest of Midian. Now, who in the world is Midian? Now, just for example's sake, let's go back for a moment. Let's go back to Bereshit, which is Genesis. And let's go to chapter 25, verse 1, which reads, "Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare him Zimran, Yokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shuach." So one of the sons, in addition to Israel, in addition to Yitzhak, Abraham had six more sons from his third wife, or you may say his second wife, because Hagar was actually a concubine, where Sarah was the wife, from Keturah. Now, Yethro, who was a priest, in Midian, which just so happens to be one of the descendants of Abraham. So you look at what's happening here. Something was being established within this line of people. okay? How can you be a priest? There has to be some standard which determines what a priest is. And if you look up the word that you use here for priest, it is the word Kohen, okay? So now, we see that Moshe, he started out in Pharaoh's house, learning to be a Pharaoh. In the Pharaoh's house, Pharaoh was just like a king, okay? After leaving there, now, learning how to be a shepherd in the house of a priest. Do you get the message that the Most High is teaching us? Now speaking and pulling back the pages a little bit, pulling back the covers a little bit. We're learning about Moshe, who learned to be a king, and then he's learning to be a priest. Some may say, how can you say he's learning to be a priest? He lived in the priest's house. He lived among a priest. Whether the priest sat him down and taught him how to be a priest, well, that's left up to speculation. But the fact that he lived there, he observed Yitro in his priestly duties, whatever they were when he served Midian. Whatever those duties were. Now, the Torah doesn't give specifications regarding that. But from other texts within Scripture, we know that the priest or the officials had responsibilities. So he did something pertaining to the priesthood. Okay? But there's a message there. There's an underlying message there. The fact that this one man, Moshe, learned how to be both a king and a priest. And I'm going to leave. And a shepherd. Learned to be a king, a priest, and a shepherd. I'm going to leave that right there. Okay? So let's move on. And I just wanted to go back there and just lay that foundation for who it is that Moshe actually is. And again, my apologies, family, for not being able to set this up for as long as I would have liked to speak, you know. But nevertheless, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10, pick up at verse 12, which reads, and now, Israel, what doth Yahweh, your mighty one, require of thee? That is the message that Yahweh wanted to send to his people on this first day of the month of Sivan. What doth Yahweh, your mighty one, require of thee? Now think about that. You know, recently in Sabbath services for our Torah Parasha or Torah portion, we've been going through the wisdom of Sirach, the wisdom of Yahushua ben Sirach, okay? And one of the things that the Most High has been impressing upon my heart, maybe on a few others, is the practicality, the practicality of the word, okay? Now, I had a conversation with one of my brothers recently, and this is what we were talking about, as far as us continuing in the word, and how is it that the Most High rewards us? Well, I don't believe that the blessing, the true blessing from the Most High, has anything to do with materialism. Yahweh provides what we need on a day-to-day basis, as far as materialism goes. He'll provide us the shelter. He'll provide us the clothing. He'll provide us the food. He'll provide us the means to provide those things, such as your job or your business, etc. Okay? So he makes those provisions for us. But I believe that the true blessing, the true reward, and Father, correct me if I'm wrong, is to further our understanding of his word spiritually speaking. Okay? As we just mentioned, you know, being able to pull back the covers sometimes just to see behind the scenes the mindset, you know, the purpose for why certain stories, certain accounts were written for our I believe that's the true blessing, when we get into the various allegories and understand what they point to. Okay? He's now elevating our mind by us reading the historical accounts, by us studying the various commands. Now he can uplift us and move us to a point of seeing through his eyes. I believe that's the true reward. But sometimes what the Most High wants us to do, especially when it comes to how we live it, maintain the practicality of Torah. And the word practicality simply means what it is that we practice. How are you living, in other words? And as was mentioned this past Shabbat, what we as Bible believers and Bible students need to be focusing on from day to day, when we rise up, when we lie down, what does Yahweh require of us? Throughout the course of the time that we are awake, that we are functioning in our communities, whether we be at home, whether we be at work, what does Yahweh ask of us? Think about that. And when we think about that question, think about whether or not we are adhering to what we know. And I really want to emphasize that. As Bible students, Bible believers, we are all in different, for example's sake, grades when it comes to our walk. Those who have been walking this way for a longer time, needless to say, the Most High requires more of you. Why? Because you have acquired more knowledge. You have acquired more understanding. Those who are babes in this way of life. Well, the Most High requires of you what you know at this point in your walk. What do you know to do right? Do you know to keep the Sabbath holy? If that's all you know, keep the Sabbath holy. Sanctify the Sabbath day. If you know that there are certain foods that you're not supposed to eat, refrain from eating those foods. So again, when that question is asked, what does Yahweh, your mighty one, require of you? You want to apply that question to what it is that you know at this moment in your walk. That is primarily what you will be judged for. If you should succumb. Okay? Keep that in mind. All right? Let's look at a few other things now before our time runs out. And now, Yisra'el, what doth Yahweh, your mighty one, require of you but to fear Yahweh, your mighty one? Now, when you get an opportunity, do a research on some of these terms here. This is your homework, as was mentioned. There are a variety of opportunities that the Most High gives us to be presented his Torah, his word. Utilize the time wisely, okay? Utilize it wisely. So now, the term translated as fear is the word Yara or Yare. You find that word in number 3372 in your Strong's. Okay. It is a primitive root. It means to fear. Morally, to revere. Causatively, to frighten. Excuse me. So, depending on the context of the word, determines exactly what it means. Now, when you think about the idea of revering something, okay, what does that even mean? To revere, okay? So when we revere someone or something, it means to regard with awe, deference, and deference, excuse me, and devotion. Some may even look at it to have a deep respect and admiration for. So what we want to do, we want to focus on a word that I believe most of us are familiar with, respect. Okay, so whenever you come across the term in the Torah, looking up the word in the Hebrew or Hebrew, and that word is yara, it means to respect, which is having a feeling of appreciation, holding in esteem. Yahweh commands that of us. He commands that we fear him, or that we respect him. Think about that. There's a passage he asked Israel that question. He says, if I'm your father, where's my honor? If we consider the Most High as being our father, are we honoring him as being our father? Think about it. This comes from Malachi, or Malachi, chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith Yahweh of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have ye despised thy name? Okay? So if we acknowledge him as being such, we have that responsibility, as the scripture said, to fear Yahweh, your mighty one. But then it also says to walk in all his ways. Now that term to walk, right? What's interesting is that when you look that word up, it comes from number 1980, and that term is halak. Halak. It is where we get the term halakha from. All right? Now, when you think about the term halakha, halakha is a term which simply means how we walk in Torah. Keep that in mind. How we walk in Torah. That's what it is. So, how are you walking? And according to our way of life, according to Hebrew culture, halakha basically refers to the Torah. Okay? That's all it simply means. And that is our walk. And again, it goes back to what is it that we're doing on a day-to-day basis. There's another passage. It says, so who knows to do good and does it not? To him, it is sin. Think about it. What do you know at this point in your life? In your walk. To him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. And that you find in Yaakov chapter 4 and verse 17. Okay? Think about it. Let's keep going. He says, and to love him. You know, as was mentioned recently, the most important characteristic that we as Bible believers and Bible students should focus on developing is love. But see, this is the problem that the world has. Because in the mind of the world thinks that the love is manifest simply by what we do to our fellow man. And it is. I'm not saying that it's not important. Let's understand that. love you. You know what the most important command is? And they asked the Messiah this question. What's the most important command in the Torah? And the first thing he says to them, and this is in one of the accounts that was written. He says, Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. He said, and you shall love Yahweh, your mighty one, with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your being. You see? He said, that's the first and the greatest command. So when it comes to the message that was given to Beth Yahweh Kent years ago, it is a message of love. But that message of love is supposed to be extended to the Most High first. It goes to Him first. You see? And once we establish that relationship with the Most High, once we love, it is only then that the true love of the Most High can now flow through us and be extended to our fellow man. That's how that works. And the Torah teaches us that. You know how? As we have learned, as we have been taught. The first time the term love was mentioned was about the relationship between Abraham and Yitzchak. In other words, the father to the child. See, we are all children of the Most High. And it establishes that the love comes from Him towards us. And the next time that love is mentioned is from Isaac to Rebecca. That teaches us something. The simple fact that the Most High mentioned love in these two accounts, Abraham loved Isaac, Isaac loved Rebecca. It teaches us that love starts with the Creator. And once that love flows to us and through us, now we can share it. Now it takes us to the second command. The love that we're supposed to share one toward another. He goes on, he says that the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourselves. All you need to do, you want to learn how to love, read the letter that Brother Shaul wrote to the Corinthians, chapter 13. And he breaks it down for us so that we understand how we need to behave. And not only that, there are several stories that show what love is. There's several other passages that explain what love is, how we're supposed to treat one another. And you know where it starts? In your household, husbands loving your wives. Wives loving your husbands. Parents loving your children. These are the things that Yahweh requires of us on a day-to-day basis. You know? Now they have commercials talking about Father's Day coming up. You know, anybody that asks me that, thus far they haven't asked me. I just wait, sit back, you know, for opportunity to present themselves. Mother's Day, Father's Day. No, I don't observe either one of them. You know why? Because if you have that opportunity, you show love to your mother and your father every day. Not just this one day of the year you're going to make something special for them. No, you show them that every day. Likewise, parents, love your children every day. Show them that they're special every day. What does that do to the mindset of a person? To know that they are loved by the people they care about. Think about it. These are the things Yahweh require, but these are the practical ways of living. See, let's backtrack for a minute. Because when you hear about the love toward the Most High, how do we show love toward the Most High? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right? Okay. If we love him, keep his commandments. One of those commands is to be loving towards our fellow man. So when we do that, we are showing the love toward the Creator. But there are also commands that are directly related to the Most High. As was mentioned earlier, the observance of Shabbat. Now, technically speaking, when I observe Shabbat, it really doesn't affect my fellow man directly. It does indirectly. And what I mean by that is this. If I am observing the Sabbath the way Yahweh said to, there's a passage that says this. Matter of fact, let's see if we can find this while we're talking. It says to forsake not the assembly of the brotherhood. So when you think about that, that means there's a time that the Most High wants us to continue fellowshipping. Matter of fact, I'm not going to look for that verse. I don't want to take up too much time. But let's go to Leviticus or Vayikra chapter 23. Real quick, show this. It says, and Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying, speak unto the sons of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. When it says that, holy convocations, okay? The word convocation, that means that we are called out to a public meeting. That means that we are supposed to be assembling. Now, when he says that, some people may say, okay, well, on the Sabbath and feast days, I call out to my family and we assemble in our home. That's fine. I understand that. But the question is this. When Yahweh said that, is that what he meant? Because if that's what he meant, this is what we have to come to understand. What's the purpose of creating a school of learning? What's the purpose of it? See, before that man can teach his household, that man has to be taught. Where did that man get his learning from? That means that he had to go sit under the inspired teacher that Yahweh chose. And that inspired teacher now teaches him. Then the man goes and he returns and he takes that teaching to the family, which includes his wife and his children. So when it says that we're supposed to have the holy convocation, well, if we love the Most High, guess what we're going to do? We're going to make sure we make that holy convocation. That's what that means. If we love the Most High, that means that those foods that he told us not to eat, we're not going to eat them because we respect the Most High. We love the Most High. We hold the Creator in high regard. You understand? These are the ways that we show the Creator that we love him, in addition to the love we share with our brothers and sisters. He wants us to do what his word says. Let's go back. He says, and now, Israel, what doth Yahweh, your mighty one, require of you? But to fear Yahweh, your mighty one, to walk in all his ways. And again, what do you know to do is right? Focus on doing that. As you continue fellowshipping and having the holy convocation with the saints and receiving the learning from the inspired teacher who was ordained to do so, then you will learn everything else you need to do, just like they said in Acts. You don't have to teach a person everything that the Torah says right away. He said Moshe and the Torah is being taught every Sabbath day. So you learn when you come to service. He says, again, to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve Yahweh, your mighty one, all your heart and with all your soul. That means with your being. What does it mean to serve? You look that word up. That word is number 5647. And it means to work in any sense. Think about that. Do and keep put all this together. He uses the term to walk. He uses the term to serve or to work in any sense. Think about that. So on a day-to-day basis, he said, when you rise up, when you lie down, right? We're supposed to be teaching. How you living? Everything you do supposed to be in accord with the Torah. Think about that. What are your thoughts throughout the course of the week? Think about it. What are your meditations? What are you ruminating on? You know what it's supposed to be? It's supposed to be His word. See, that's how the change takes place. In your walk, in your work, in everything that you do, you're acknowledging the Creator. That's how the transformation takes place. Think about these things. This is what He requires. This is what He asked about. See, we can talk about prayer. You know? And the question of prayer request came up. Pray. He said, you have not because you ask not. Pray for whatever it is that you feel that you need from the Most High. But trust and believe you will be held accountable for what it is that He requires of you as well. You see? You will be held accountable for that. We will be held accountable for that. I don't want to separate myself. I, too, am included in that. Okay? So let's finish this out as the time is slowly winding down for us. And again, my apology. I apologize for being redundant with my apology. Yeah, but I guess y'all, we just wanted y'all to get a thought today. So, Devarim, chapter 10. Verses 12-13. And if you get an opportunity, as always, you can read this chapter in its entirety. Okay? And again, this is something that Moshe came to learn. See, and the beauty of Devarim, as we've discussed before, Devarim is Moshe speaking. You see, as we started off, we saw this man develop. And what it took for him to become a spokesperson who can now stand on the word of Yahweh. That's what we learned. You know, throughout the early times, and Yahweh spoke unto Moshe, saying, speaking to the sons of Yisrael, as we read in Leviticus a moment ago. And you find that throughout Shemut, which is Exodus. You find that, of course, in Vayikra, which is Leviticus. And you find that in Bamidbar, which is Numbers. But when you get to Devarim, it is now Moshe speaking. He has now grown to the authority that the Most High had given him. And we watch that. We learn that when we learn and we read about his story. So he gets to this point. And he wants to encourage his people. And he says, and now, Israel, what doth Yahweh, your mighty one, require of thee? But to fear Yahweh, your mighty one, to walk in his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yahweh, your mighty one, with all your heart, with all your soul, to keep the commandments of Yahweh and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good? That's the question. Think about it. What are we doing? And we look at that to keep the commandments. See, we discussed that before. That word is Shamar, number 8104, which properly means to hedge about. We are to guard the commandments. See, how do we guard the commandments and his statutes? by making sure we keep them according to his divine will. We protect them and not allow people to take them out of context. How? Because they see how we are living. What does Yahweh require of you? And are you living according to that? Are you walking in his ways? Are you serving him with your heart and your soul? Do you love him? Think about these things throughout the course of your day. May the Creator of the heavens and the earth be with each and every one of you. May he bless you. May he keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift his countenance upon you and send you all his peace. Beshem Yahushua HaMashiach. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies Israel. Erosh Chodesh. Hallelujah.